Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of the first Coptic month of Tut, and the church selected for us this beautiful passage that is very familiar to us, and one that we've known since we were very young children, but there are many lessons for us to learn from this passage. As I look at this passage as a parent or as a father, what kind of struck me was what the Lord Christ said at the end of the passage when he said, salvation has come to this home. So it made me think, okay, what was it that Zacchaeus did that made his home worthy to hear these words, salvation has come to this home? So I only have a couple of points today, but I want to speak about a saving home. What can we learn from the story of Zacchaeus that we can apply to our homes to make it a home more conducive for salvation for myself, my spouse, and my children as well? So the first characteristic maybe that we can learn about a saving home is that, or the first thing we can know about it, is a saving home is not a sinless home. A home where there is salvation is come to this home is not a home where there is no sin. You know, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and the Bible says that he was rich. So the chief tax collector, man, he's been in this business for a long time to become the chief of all the other tax collectors in his region. So he's been doing this, and as you know, the tax collector wasn't somebody who was loved by the people. He was Jew, and his job was to work for the Romans to collect taxes for them. So being a Jew, he would take money from them and then take something on top of that for his own pocket. So they were always the ones that were, you know, people really didn't like them because they felt this guy was of our own, but he's betraying us and taking advantage of us, right? So they were despised by the people. He certainly was not a sinless man. And the Bible often speaks about the tax collectors and sinners. They're always kind of classed together. And even at one point, their tax collectors and adulterers are mentioned together. So they're known for their greed and their taking advantage of the weak and everyone in the city. So they were despised people. So his sin was very apparent to others. But Zacchaeus was seeking something else. And if you considered his family saw his greed, but yet they enjoyed its produce. They enjoyed the product of his greed. They lived a very wealthy lifestyle. Dad was taking advantage of people in his line of work. Maybe they didn't understand this until they got a little bit older, but this is what Dad's line of work was, and because it is such, we live a very comfortable and wealthy life. But there was something else that Zacchaeus was seeking. Apparently, wealth wasn't enough for him. It wasn't enough to fulfill what his need was, or maybe to fulfill his curiosity. He heard about Christ and was curious about him, so he wanted to know more. So he sought to seek something else. I think perhaps Zacchaeus was missing peace in his life because money cannot buy peace. Perhaps he had some guilt for all of the people that he had taken advantage of, and maybe he recalled some cases where he really took advantage of somebody and really made a family in more need because of his greed. So there was something else that he was seeking. He was seeking peace and maybe seeking relief from this guilt. And oftentimes, you and I, when we commit a sin, this is what we feel. We feel not at peace, and we feel the burden of the guilt of the sin upon our heart. And we feel like, okay, what is one to do? So we saw this whole household being affected by this, and certainly his kids maybe were affected by this. So we saw, although Christ came and said, salvation has come to this house, Christ didn't look for the perfect home to say salvation has come to this house. So this gives us hope, right? That despite the sins in myself, and those even among my family members, salvation can still come to this home. I think the important question here is not whether or not there is sin in my home, but how does a saving home deal with sin? How do we as a family, or how do I as a leader figure in the home, deal with the sins of my spouse or the sins of my children? Either we can be as the father in the story of the prodigal son, with this loving embrace when his son returned to him after he'd spent all of his money on prodigal living. He came back to him in repentance, and his father met him with open arms. And his father focused not on the sin, but focused on his restoration, right? Sometimes, of course, the other side is we can be concerned about the reprimand. Sometimes when our children make mistakes, or somebody in the family makes mistakes, we're focused on justice. How can I make this person know and pay for what they did? Even with our own children, it's important that they suffer the penalty of what they did. I'm not saying this is not important. It's an important lesson to teach our kids. But sometimes we stop at the penalty. The building part, the restoration part, we leave out, right? Where it's an opportunity to teach, an opportunity after there is a consequence and we apply the consequence, we show them love and acceptance. This restoration is very important. It shouldn't stop at the reprimand and shouldn't stop at the punishment. So, our house can be a saving house even though there is sin present in the home. The second thing is a saving home is a home that seeks the Lord. It says here that he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. I can imagine, maybe if I was this man's son, living in such a high class as he was, a chief tax collector, and all of a sudden I see Dad going outside, running ahead of a crowd, and then climbing up a tree. I'm sure the people were making fun of him, and maybe as a son, I'm like, Dad, get down! Come on, don't embarrass us! You're embarrassing, get down! Right? Can imagine what the kids, or maybe his children, were saying. This is all, you know, I'm making this up, this kid in my head. It's nowhere in the Bible. But I'm just meditating on it with you. Imagine what his kids were saying. You know, embarrassing us, get down. You know, how am I going to face my friends with you up in a tree? No one with your, you know, stature and your position climbs up into a tree. You should be able to have your servants go call him, and because who you are, he should come to you. All of this, you know, could be said. But despite all of this, maybe possible criticism from his family and certainly criticism from the people, Zacchaeus pursued him anyways. He didn't care. He says, I'm seeking the Lord regardless of what the people around me say, and even maybe what my own family is saying. Sometimes, Yani, this is very hard, Yani, to hear, but sometimes when our children want to make a stride in their spiritual life, they get criticism from their parents. They make fun of them. Right? They're gonna make him feel like, because maybe they feel rebuked at his effort or her efforts, they begin to criticize and bring them down, you know? So, I can imagine this. A saving home has leaders or parents that model what is important. That model what is important. After this whole incident happened, I'm sure his children possibly thought to themselves, what Dad did was very, you know, it was very noble. That despite what we said, despite what the people around him said, he still did it. This shows us that this person whom he was seeking after is important. We teach our children and we display the values we have by our actions in the home. Even things as simple as decorating in the home. What we put or hang on our walls shows what we value, right? You'll find maybe somebody putting secular magazines on the table, or hanging, you know, pictures of movie stars in their rooms or whatever. this shows what's important. And then you have a family who has icons around the house and has Bible verses maybe hung up in different places around the house so their children can memorize these verses. What our children see on our walls and on our tables and how we adorn the house, tell them what's important. And if sometimes there are shisha, the hookah, they use as decoration. When the child sees this, what does he say? This is something that is nice. So when I go and somebody invites me to do one of these, to smoke one of these, I remember, this was in my parents' house, so it must be okay. So how we decorate our homes can even, tell our children what it is that we value. Modeling prayer and consecrating time for God and showing acts of charity. When I value these things in my home, and this is seeking the Lord in my home. And when I do this, the children see this and they see what's important to our family by what we display and model. Modeling, for example, endurance in the face of hardship or the face of injustice. If you come home, I was speaking with the Adam and Eve group the other day about, sharing with our children maybe our hardships if they ask. I can come in with the disfigured face and maybe I'm tired because of some hardship at work, and our children ask us, and sometimes we say we don't want to burden them and we just say, no, don't worry about it. But maybe if we share with them maybe just a small part so they can feel like, me and Dad are connected or me and Mom are connected, right? And then maybe the scenario was somebody treated you unjustly and it was very clear that it was injustice. But then in talking with your son and child about this injustice, and you say, I think at the end of the day, nobody's perfect, no place is perfect, no work is perfect, no institution is perfect, and sometimes we'll be treated unjustly. But at the end of the day, we still have our faith, we still have our love for one another, and this is what's important. What does this tell the child? It tells them that, yes, you can endure real injustice and be okay with that. It's khalas, it's not the end of the world, right? Also, obedience to the authority of Scripture and the church we can model in our homes. When they see the church say that there's a fast, then we fast at home. When the church says that this place is maybe an inappropriate place or a place where the children of God don't belong, the parents follow suit in the home. So they see this congruity between home and church, and there's no discrepancy. A saving home is a home that seeks the Lord. A saving home also must be courageous. Must be courageous. It says that he sought to see who Jesus was, but couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. It took a lot of courage for Zacchaeus to do this. It really did. And sometimes, in the face of, life, we need to face it with courage. And our children need to see within us this maybe acts of courage, where maybe, we can, some friends maybe are going to a place that's not right, and I say, yes, they're close friends, and it's very hard for me to say that this other family is doing something wrong, but I'm going to take courage and identify the wrong behavior. And this way show my children that it's okay, even if those who are closest to you are doing the wrong thing, to not do the wrong thing and to stand up for what is right, even if they are, people that are close to you. Zacchaeus was not overly concerned about what people thought about him. How many times or how many things in our life are governed by what people think about us? How we dress, how we behave, the language that we use. A lot, you find, if you think about it, a lot of your life is governed by what people think about you, right? And what people will say if you did or went or didn't do so-and-so. If you think about Noah, for example, Noah spent 120 years building the ark. Imagine going in your backyard, start building a big boat, and when your neighbors come and ask you, what are you doing? You say, I'm building a boat for the flood. year after year after year. Maybe they say, okay, maybe Harvey's coming next year or the year after that. But imagine 50, 60 years later, there's still nothing. They're going to say, khalas, this guy's crazy, right? This is exactly what happened with Noah. I'm sure everybody around him was making fun of him. Are you ridiculous? You know, this is just building nothing. It's all imagination. You're hallucinating. You're ruining the life of your family and all of these things, right? You're not having fun. You're spending all of your time building something. All of these things can be said. But Noah is very courageous in that, despite what the people said, he still continued in listening to the voice of God. And who was the one who was to be saved at the end? It was only Noah and his family, the ones who were courageous, who can go against what the other people were saying. It takes courage to be a Christian, and it takes courage to have a home that goes against the crowd. So a saving home must be courageous. And it says also, if we pay attention to the verbiage here, he says, so he ran ahead and climbed up to a sycamore tree. So what happened? Zacchaeus saw the Lord Jesus and the crowd, and they were going along the road. But in order to see him, he had to run ahead of the crowd, climb up to the tree, and then wait for them to pass by. So the fathers looked at this and said, look at what Zacchaeus actually did here. He didn't go to where Christ was, where the crowd was, and climbed up into a tree. But he separated himself from the crowd. There had to be this separation from the crowd before he was able to see the Lord Jesus. So, like I said, a saving home must be separated from the deeds and acts of the world. If you remember with me in the life of Abraham, when God called Abraham, the first thing he said to him is what? Get out of your father's house and come to a land that I will show you. So what is he requesting of him? Separation. Why? His father was actually pagan. Abraham's father was pagan. He worshipped idols. So God is telling him, in order for you to grow in your relationship with me, you have to leave the idols at home and come after me. What did Abraham do? Abraham obeyed. He said, I'm going to leave my father's house. But rather than going to Canaan, I went to Haran, which is a little in the north around where Syria is. So he went there, and his father came with him. If you pay attention to scripture, God was silent until Abraham's father died. Once Abraham's father died, all of the ties to the idols or to the things of the world were cut or were no longer there. Then he appeared to him again and told him now to continue and go to Canaan. So there has to be this separation and ties from the things of the world. And when I say here separation, I don't mean isolation. Separation is not isolation, right? God never told them to be isolated from the people, but he told them to be separated from them. So actually our homes are not meant to be isolated because we're part of one body, but they're meant to be separated. Separated in what? Separated in goal. Separated maybe in purpose. Separated in value. Separated in the convictions. Maybe the people of the world accept, you know, dating and having boyfriend and girlfriend, and now people are starting to accept marijuana and cannabis as being okay, right? So this might be their thought. But my home, if it's going to be a saving home, I have to be separated. Our goal is not to make money and be wealthy in life. Our goal is to fear God and honor Him in everything that we do, right? So we're not separating or isolating ourselves from the world, but we're separating it in goal, in purpose, in values, and in conviction. Lastly, the saving home displays repentance. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So what happened when he encountered Christ and he met with him and was touched by him, his life changed and it was evident by his behavior. Notice here I said a saving home displays repentance. Because repentance, sometimes we say, this is something in my heart. Yes, it is something in my heart, but if it doesn't translate to something external, to a change in behavior, a change in choices, then it's really not repentance. It's just maybe I confess that what I'm doing is wrong with no intention to change, right? So the real repentance shows that there is a change. So his inner values changed. Before, he was worried about wealth, and then all of a sudden he's giving half of his money to the poor and giving back those whom he cheated what he took plus interest. Imagine now if you're that child in that house and you're seeing this great change in your father. Now he's being very generous. He's giving to the poor. Yes, we might initially think to ourselves, there goes my new car, there goes my, you know, college tuition, there goes my whatever it is. But then after all of this is said and done, we look at our father and say, this man is a courageous man. This man is a saint for the change that he was able, you know, to display and show us. And as a child, I'll look at my life and say, what is it that's in my life that I can change just as my father changed? So this encourage his children and his family to repent, right? How many of us as parents, we, you know, display repentance? Our children may not even know that we repent at all, or we go and meet with Abuna and confess. Maybe we don't at all. Some parents, maybe we don't confess at all. So then how can we expect our children to lead a life of repentance if they've never seen me meet Abuna to go and confess my sins? How do they know that this is valuable if I don't display it? Right? There was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Saul, who was the king of Israel, and he liked to pursue David, who used to be his servant, or was his servant. And then it came to a point where he was chasing David, and then he went into a cave to take care of some business, and David was in the recess, right? And then when David and his army and his men were inside, his people said to him, go and kill Saul. The Lord has delivered him into your hand today. And he said, no, I can't lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. So he went and he just cut a little piece of his robe instead of killing him. And then when Saul went out, David came out to him and told him, don't listen to the people that tell you that I want to take your life. Here's a piece of your robe to prove it. Listen to what Saul responded. He said to him, you are more righteous than I, David, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. So he made a confession, right? You're better than me, you're more righteous than me. But then, did Saul cease from pursuing David? No, he still pursued it. So his mouth confessed, but his actions did not confess. This is futile, right? So the behavior or the change of life needs to come with the confession of the mouth. And it's much stronger when it's, you know, an action. Zacchaeus, we don't read in the story that he told his children to repent. He didn't tell them, okay guys, the Lord Jesus is coming for dinner today. I want everybody to get ready a list of sins so you can sit with him and confess. We didn't see or hear that he said that. But when Christ came in, he felt compelled that he needs to change his life. And he felt the love of Christ so much that he felt, I have to change. I can't remain the way that I am. Let me change who I am and worry about myself. And what did Christ say? Salvation has come to the house because of this. Right? So when his children see his change and his repentance, they will do likewise. Right? A salvation, a home, a saving home is not a sinless home. It is a home that seeks the Lord. It is a courageous home, and it is a home that displays repentance. I think if any father or parent reads this, this is the word that we all wish to hear in the day of judgment. Salvation has come to your home. And it is my prayer, and I'm sure it will be your prayer, that this is what we hear from the Lord when we are going to give account to our families before the Lord, as we hear him say, salvation has come to your home. What wonderful words, you know, this would be to hear. And we can be on this path if we seek the Lord, are courageous, and offer and display repentance. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.